Good morning. Good to be with you this morning. It's important, I think, for us from time to time to take a look at life. God has a plan for us. For the next 6 weeks, this morning we're going to introduce some introductory remarks this morning, but we're going to introduce and then preach for 5 weeks on the life course of the believer. By that I mean, what is it that God did? What is it that God is doing, and what is it that God wants to do in each believer's life? In fact, it's important to note, I think, that sometimes we forget in the daily run of life and our daily walk that God is, in fact, God, in fact, does have a plan for us. Sometimes it gets marred, always due to us, but God's plan is never stopped. It may look like it takes a different direction, but it comes back on the path of life that God has for us, and ultimately it will be fulfilled as God plans. And that's so good to know. One of the great questions of life is, why am I here? The world, mankind in general, has sought the answer for that since the beginning of time. Why am I here? They've searched it out in science. Their discovery led to a lie, a false assumption. As man searched scientifically, they got farther away from God and closer to a man-centered life. We call that science today evolution. It removed God from the picture, and through a process of evolving from a single-cell organism to here we are today, man lost the vision of God. There are only two individuals that don't understand God and his glory or his working in our lives. Satan and his emissaries don't understand that. They think for some reason that they're going to win. Then mankind in general doesn't think that. If you read the first chapter of the book of Romans, you will find that man started out with a belief in God and ended with a polytheistic attitude about God, and eventually a rejection of God, and they put man in his place. They worshiped man. The creator was removed, and the creature was worshiped. And so today men worship bugs, beasts, birds, living things, and themselves. But God's plan was different. And as believers, those of us who know the Lord Jesus, that question should cause a different response. It should cause us to, first of all, contemplate our life, listen very carefully, from beginning to end. And I don't just mean by beginning, our individual beginning when we are born, but I'm talking about in the process of God's designing a plan, it began with Him. Let me give you a thought. There's a little verse in the book of Isaiah that says, I have created man for my glory. That's the beginning. I have created man for my glory. See, if we begin there, we will understand what God wants to do. When you choose to remove God or get God out of the way, you don't begin there. You reject that. You turn away from that. So we need to begin there. And then we need to ask some questions. Why did God make us? What is His desire for us? Why did God make us? Did He just make us to wander around in the universe? Did He just make us to blindly follow the leader? Did He make us to be something other than we are capable of being? The answer to that is yes. What is His desire for us? What does He want? I think of this. What does He want me to do? You know, there are people who have been saved for years and they still don't know what God wants them to do. Then I think there's another question. What is His goal for our life? Does God have a goal for your life? He does. And then finally, I think we need to ask the question, what is His final destiny for me? That's again one of those philosophic thoughts that men has sought for years. What is my final destiny? In fact, men ask four questions about life. Number one, they always ask, who am I? Man's philosophy asks these four questions. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And what is my final destiny? Those are good questions. Now, the answers are all found in the Bible. Yet when men reject God, they don't use the Word of God, they don't get the answers. And they're still trying to figure them out. The brightest minds in the world haven't figured this out apart from God. Who am I? Why am I here? Where did I come from? What's my final destiny? In science, they've searched. Philosophy, they've searched. Even in lifestyles, they've searched. That's why we have such a conglomerate of different kinds of lifestyles today. People aren't satisfied with the way God made them. They think they ought to be something else. And so they're changing it. It's part of this pursuit. That's why they act the way they do. That's why they do the things they do. And don't hate them. Don't treat them with disdain. They need Christ. If they find Christ, they'll find the answer. So mankind is searching in all the wrong places. Believers can search in the only right place. And so we want to ask those questions. Why did God make us? Well, number one, we were created for His glory. That's why God made us. We were created for His glory. And it means two things. Number one, it certainly means we are created so that He might get the glory. What He did and what He does should bring glory to God. So it has that thought. The second part of that is that we are, as believers, in fact, as beings, human beings, we are to practice our lifestyle, and our goal should be that it glorifies God. Everything we do, everything we say, everywhere we go, everyone we meet, we should practice our lifestyle so that it might bring glory to God. So number one, why did God make us? He created us for His glory. And you might write by that, our purpose in life. That's our purpose in life. That's not hard to understand. That's what He created man for, then that is man's purpose. And everything that you do or you're going to do, everything that God will do through you, until you go home, fits into that purpose of bringing glory to God, all God's people said. Amen. Secondly, what is it that He desires for us? Does God have a desire for us? Number two, yes, we are saved for God's pleasure, all God's people said. That wasn't just some afterthought of God when Adam slipped and fell. Man, I've got to do something now. I've got to fix this. How can I work this out? That's not what happened. Before the foundation of the world, before Adam was ever created, before ever there was an earth or a heaven, before all that took place, God had a plan. And part of this plan was to see men who will fall to come back into a fellowship with God. We call that a relationship. That's why when people talk about religion, they often are just referring to a spiritual attitude somebody may have or a church someone goes to, that they are religious. We're not religious. We have a relationship, and it makes a difference. We have a relationship with God. And so when God's desire is that we come to Christ, that He has pleasure in, and it forms a relationship. We have fellowship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, all God's people said. So number one, the first thing we're going to look at next Sunday is we were created for His glory. The Sunday after that, we're going to look at what is His desire for us, and the answer is we are saved for God's pleasure. That's our relationship. So we have our purpose, our relationship. Here's the third thing. What does God want us to do? Have you ever asked that question? Lord, what do you want me to do? Here it is. We were chosen by God for God's service. In fact, we're chosen by Him before the foundation of the world. that we should be to the praise of the glory of his grace. We were chosen by him for service. We weren't chosen by him to sit. We weren't chosen by him simply to just fill ourselves up with the word. We weren't chosen just to get knowledge. If that were true, then we'd just all be fat with knowledge and do nothing for God. And that kind of knowledge puffs up. It doesn't help you at all. Knowledge for knowledge's sake simply puffs up. If you don't believe that, all you got to do is go to a college or a university and listen to most of the professors. They're knowledgeable. They're not dummies. But that's knowledge for knowledge's sake. There's no point to it. It doesn't lead anywhere. You see, we need to realize that everything in life comes back to God. It doesn't come back to what some man taught 100 years ago. It doesn't come back to the Pythagorean theorem. It doesn't come back to E equals MC squared, and I still don't know what that means. It doesn't come back to those things. It comes back to God. And so we were chosen for God's service. That is our ministry, to serve God. Now, there are specific areas to serve God. There are specific ministries to have for God. There are specific things to do for God. But I'm talking about in a general way, God chose us for his service. Then there's a fourth thing. What is his goal for my life? Does God have a goal for my life? Man, I'm in college. I'm studying to do such and such, so and so. Well, what you're doing, if you're in the will of God, what you're doing is you're doing what he wants you to do in order for him to fulfill in you his goal. All God's people said. It's that simple. We are maturing. Here's his goal. We are maturing in Christ's likeness. What is it that God's goal is for us, for our lives, that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, Ephesians chapter 1. God has predestinated you to be conformed to the image of his Son. And don't run from that word predestination. Don't be fearful of that. Some have blown what predestination is way out the window, but it simply means God does something for you in his foreknowledge, makes a plan, and will carry it out. And his plan is, his goal for you, if you please, is that you might be like Christ. To grow in Christ's likeness. It's the second aspect of sanctification. I wrote by that, that is our discipleship. When you learn more about Christ, you're learning. And discipleship is applying what you've learned to your life so that you may grow thereby. And having a teacher like Christ and a book like the Bible is the best discipleship in the universe. And a lot of churches talk about discipleship. They haven't figured out what it is. It's not a program. It's a ministry. It's part and parcel of what we do and why we do it. If someone gets saved and you know them and they're close to you, your job would be to encourage them to get in the Word. And then you take your Bible and open the Bible and teach them what you know. The things, Paul said, that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Discipleship. All God's people said. Amen. So We are maturing in Christ's likeness. That's our discipleship. Then lastly, what is God's final destiny for us? Man wants to know that. When you tell man what it is, they don't like that. They're the kind that, like Israel and back in the old time, when they wanted a king, and after they got one, they said, "We don't want this man to rule over us." Well, it's because prior to that, they said, "We don't want this God to rule over us." And that now has become the thematic thought of mankind. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do. Well, they better not get a job. We're free thinkers. I don't want even to go there. That's so silly. Free thinkers. No, we're not free thinkers. We have the right to think and the right to think what we want. But ultimately, your free thinking will have a end, will have a consequence. Then it's not so free if it costs you your life. What is his final destiny for us? I wrote this down. We will be changed into his likeness or his image. Transformation, all God's people said. Amen. Those are the five things. Those are the five messages we're going to hear. Those are the five topics we're going to study on Sunday morning for the next 5 weeks. Now, it's interesting to me. I wrote these things down, these subjects, probably 10, 12, I don't know, at least 10 years ago. And I wrote them down and looked at each one of them a little bit and then just put it away, never looked at it again. And 3 weeks ago, I was thumbing through one of my journals and I found that. And I said, man, that would be a great series. Then I put it away. But then about a week and a half ago, I grabbed it again, looked at it, decided that I should speak on that. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And I hope we learn a lot. I hope we do grow, because that's the response that we would love to get in this message. Now, let me just do one more thing. Why should we do this? I don't know. Pastor had a good idea. Sounds good to me. No. What would make a series like this important? Is it important? Well, let me give you just five things. Number one, it's important because God is a God of order. God is a God of order. From Genesis 1 to the end of that book called the Bible, God is a God of order. His design, his concept for life, his creative act, his choosing of Israel, his choice of us, he's a God of order. And so it'd be important for us, it should be important for us, to make sure that we follow God's order. Amen? Secondly, God does have a plan for your life, a fully fixed, wonderful plan. Well, what if God leads me to quit that? I know what you're thinking. What if God leads me to darkest Africa? No, thank you. Here am I, send Eddie. No, if we're fixed on the thought that God has a purpose, that we were created in his image and in his likeness, and we're created for His glory, then wherever He sends us is going to redound to the glory of God. That's a good thing. All God's people. So number one, God is a God of order. Number two, God has a plan, a fixed, permanent plan for your life. Now, we can mess it up. I will admit we've all done dumb things that mess it up. Sometimes God has to pull us back in the way. If you want a good literary picture of that thing that I just mentioned, you need to buy the little book, Pilgrim's Progress, by Jonathan Edwards. Written in the 1600s by Jonathan Edwards. Pilgrim's Progress. It's an allegory, but it's a great, great story. And if you want to find out, just walk through the life of a believer, because the fellas that is the star of the book, his name is Christian. Isn't that interesting? And he runs into all kinds of difficulties and makes silly choices sometimes, but ultimately arrives at the finished line. He follows God's plan, and God's plan never fails. So number one, God is a God of order. Number two, God has a plan for our lives. Number three, because each step, and this is so important, each step, each of these five steps, each step leads to a greater, fuller, experiential knowledge of God. Each step leads to a greater, fuller, experiential knowledge of God. How many want to know more about God? How many say, "Now I already know enough. I don't need to know anything else." Then the fourth thing is, why are we to do this? Why is this series important? It's to demonstrate, and I wrote this down, thinking of God alone, to demonstrate the awesomeness of God. I don't know, there's probably 60 people in here this morning. You realize God has a plan for you corporately as part of this body? But do you know that God has an individual plan for each of your lives? That's 60 different plans, all God's people said. Now, can you imagine, as an individual, trying to be in charge, lay out the plans, the work, the necessary turns, the necessary corrections, do it all for 60 people every single moment of every day? Now think with me. There are probably a million people that call Christ their Savior in this state. Now he's got a million plans. You can multiply that over and over and over and over again. Is God not awesome? Is that not just one of the greatest things in the world? That God knows each step I take. Every single little step. He knows every thought I have. And he knows what I need and when I need it. He has a plan. This walking with God through this plan of life that we each have will demonstrate the greatness or the awesomeness of God. Then finally, we're doing this series to display the incredible love of God. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us. And God loved you enough to bring you into the world, to lead you to the Savior, And that alone is an incredible plan. Redemption is an unbelievable plan. To bring you on the other side of that, from death to life, to walk you through life's journey, to make you look more like Christ every day. And as you're maturing in Christ, you're learning and knowing, reveling in the thought of Him. Ultimately, one day, you will wake up not feeling well, take your last breath, sink down in death. Uh-oh, no. The body died. You're healthier now than you've ever been. Because absent from the body, present with the Lord. We'll be home with God. And folks, it doesn't get any better than that. Oh, if the world knew, and they would follow Christ, what a difference it would make. So for the next 5 weeks, starting next Sunday, we're going to be covering those wonderful thoughts. Next Sunday, we are created for God's glory, our purpose. All God's people said. Lord, help us to be thankful to you and to glory in your providence, your goodness, your mercy, your faithfulness to us. Lord, may we learn more about you and may we learn more about ourselves as we enter this little study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.